Welcome to Roots and Hustle, a podcast where African youth stop hustling blind and start building legacy. I'm your host, Waka, an engineer, entrepreneur, husband, father, and most importantly, a believer in Africa's future. Every week, we have real conversations about money, mindset, manhood, and womanhood. We also highlight the tools we need to break that cycle of poverty and build generational wealth. If you're ready to stop running in circles and start building something that lasts, then you're in the right place. This is more than a podcast. It's a movement. It's Roots and Hustle. Let me ask you something. When was the last time your parents, your uncles, your aunties, or even your grandparents actually sat you down and taught you how money works? I mean, really taught you. Let's say, talk about what they earned, what they saved, how they budget, whether they've invested, how they think about risk, how they plan for retirement. If we're being honest, most of us never had that conversation. And when money did come up at home, it was usually during a crisis. Let's say the landlord is threatening eviction, or the lights or water bill is came up and is about to be cut off. School fees are due tomorrow. A relative suddenly is sick in the hospital and bills are piling up. That's when money came up. Not as education, but as emergency. In too many African households, especially the Gambian household, money is treated like a taboo subject. You don't ask your father about his salary. You don't ask your mother how she manages market money. You don't question how school fees are paid. You just respect your elders and accept that money is not for children. But here's the danger. When money is hidden, the lessons are hidden as well. We grow up financially blind. We don't learn to manage money. We don't learn to multiply it. We don't even learn to respect it the right way. And that silence creates two dangerous mindsets. Some of us grow up scared of money. We believe it's too complicated, too risky, too stressful. So when we finally make some, we either hoard it, we hide it under mattresses, or keep it in accounts that don't grow. Money never really works for us. We just lock it away out of fear. And others, well, they grow up reckless with money because we were never taught discipline. We treat money like water. The moment it comes, it goes. On flashy clothes, parties, drinks, betting. By the end of the month, we're back to zero. Both fear and recklessness comes from the same root, which is silence. Nobody showed us the middle ground. Nobody showed us that money is a tool. Now, let me ground this in the Gambia. Nearly 20% of our GDP comes from remittances. That means that many families survive on money from abroad, not money generated at home. And even with that struggle, we still don't teach financial literacy in our homes. This is why so many of us fall into traps. Some risk their lives in the back way, not because they're lazy, but because they don't see opportunity at home. Some spend years abroad working at warehouses, being Uber drivers, construction workers, but come back empty-handed because they never learn to manage what they earn. Others hustle daily at home. Let's say market vendors, taxi drivers, tailors, but remain stuck because every Delisi earned goes right back out with no plan. That cycle continues generation after generation. If your father never taught you about money and you never teach your children, they will be just as blind as you were. This episode is about breaking that cycle, breaking that silence, and confronting the taboo head on. Because here's the truth. Money is not evil. Money is not magic. Money is not something to fear or worship. It is a tool, a powerful one. And like any tool, if you don't learn how to use it, you'll waste it or hurt yourself with it. The silence in our homes has cost us too much already. And if we don't start talking about money openly, honestly, and practically, then we'll never control it. Instead, it will continue to control us. Why does this topic matter? Well, let's be real. We are living in a time where money is no longer optional knowledge. If you don't understand how money works in 2025, you will get left behind. Why? Well, because the world is moving fast, and the economy does not wait for anyone. Let's look at the Gambia for a second. Our country's GDP per capita is around $916 a year. That's less than $3 a day on average. Over 48% of Gambians live in poverty. Youth unemployment hovers over 40%. These aren't just statistics. This is real life. This is why your cousin is sitting at home despite graduating. This is why your sister is struggling to start a business. This is why your uncle abroad is working 3 jobs, but still can't save. Now compare that with the global stage across the world. Wealth is being created through entrepreneurship, investment, and technology. People are building digital platforms, investing in stocks, trading real estate, using AI to multiply businesses. And here we are, still treating money like a secret, something not to be discussed, something whispered in the kitchen or only mentioned after a crisis. This silence is dangerous because while we don't talk about money at home, social media is talking about it nonstop. TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, they are filled with messages about money. But let's be honest, most of it is nonsense. Fast money schemes, betting strategies, Ponzi investments, fake gurus selling dreams. And because we never got a foundation at home, many of our youth fall for it every time. This is why so many young Africans are trapped in the get-rich-quick culture. From betting shops in Banjul to Forex mentors online to scam promising quick returns, we're drawn to it because nobody ever showed us the slow, steady, disciplined path to building wealth. And let's not ignore the social pressures. Weddings, naming ceremonies, funerals, cultural expectations that demand people spend money they don't even have. How many Gambians borrow just to throw a big event? How many spend their last delicacy to show face in the community instead of investing in something that could feed them tomorrow? This is why money talks must happen, because silence plus pressure equals destruction. And the truth is, money conversations don't just save individuals. They save communities. Imagine if Gambian families taught children about saving, investing, budgeting, and entrepreneurship at home. Imagine if every young man and woman understood credit, loans, and business basics before leaving secondary school. Imagine if financial intelligence was passed down like inheritance. We'd have fewer people trapped in poverty, fewer young men risking their lives, and women building sustainable businesses instead of borrowing at high interest just to survive. So when I say money talks matters today, I mean it's life or death. It's the difference between being consumers forever or finally building generational wealth. It's the difference between being exploited by a system or using the system to your advantage. And most importantly, it's the difference between our children inheriting our struggles or inheriting our success. Let's dig into something uncomfortable. In many Gambian and African households, money is still taboo, like I said before. You know what I mean. If you ask your parents how much they earn, they'll shut you down. If you ask why there's never enough money at the end of the month, they'll say, don't worry about it. You're too young. Some even tell you it's disrespectful to talk about money at all. But here's the problem. That silence has a cost, a big one. When money is taboo, 3 dangerous things happen. 1, we don't learn the basics. How many of us grew up without ever being taught budgeting, saving, or investing? Instead, we enter adulthood blind. That's why so many Gambians start working, and within weeks, the salary is gone. Not because we're reckless, but because nobody ever showed us how to manage money. 2, we grow fearful of money. Some of us are so scared of losing money that we never use it for growth. We hoard it, hide it, or avoid dealing with it altogether. I've met people who'd rather keep money under the mattress than put it in a bank. Others refuse to invest in small ventures because they're terrified of risk. Fear of money leads to poverty, just as much as ignorance does. Number three, we misuse money because of pressure. When money isn't talked about openly, cultural expectations take over. Weddings, funerals, religious obligations, all important, yes, but often exaggerated. Families borrow thousands just to keep up appearances. Young people spend on clothes, parties, even drugs, just to feel relevant, because they never learn how to prioritize long-term value over short-term pleasure. And here's where it gets worse. Silence in the home leaves room for the wrong teachers outside. If the family doesn't teach money, TikTok will. If the parents don't explain how loans work, the loan shark will. If schools don't talk about credit and interest, the banks will exploit ignorance. Think about it. How many young Gambians understand what interest rates really mean? How many know the difference between good debt and bad debt? How many understand that buying a flashy car with borrowed money is financial suicide? The silence also creates generational gaps. Parents struggle but never pass down lessons. Children then repeat the same mistakes. We've seen families hustling for 30 years, yet with nothing to show for it. No house, no land, no savings. Just hustle, debt, and survival. This taboo is costing us opportunities while other countries openly teach youth about financial literacy. We're still saying money is not your business yet. Meanwhile, by the time our kids realize money is their business, it's too late. They're already in debt, already desperate, already chasing shortcuts. So here's the truth. The cost of silence is too high. It's keeping Gambians poor. It's keeping Africans poor. It's stopping us from competing globally. Until we break this silence in our homes, we will never break the cycle in our communities. Breaking the chains, starting the conversation. So, now the question is, how do we break the silence? How do we make money a conversation in every African home? Not just something whispered when bills are due. It starts with normalizing money talk. We need to make financial conversations as common as talking about school, football, or even the weather. Parents must tell their kids, here's how much rice costs. Here's what the electricity bill is. Here's how much money comes in. And here's where it goes. When kids understand the flow of money, they begin to respect its value. Next, we teach the basics early. Imagine if Gambian schools made budgeting, savings, and investing part of the curriculum from grade 7. Imagine if every 15-year-old knew how to track spending, calculate profit, or understand compound interest. By the time they graduate, they wouldn't just be chasing jobs. They'll be creating them. But schools move slow, so it has to start at home. Parents, uncles, older siblings, even if you don't know everything, start small. Show children how to save a little every week. Involve them in planning for Eid or Christmas expenses. Let them see how budgeting before a big event works. This makes money real, not mysterious. We also need to shift our culture from secrecy to transparency. Parents often hide financial struggles to protect kids, but kids already see it. When school fees are late, when lights are cut off, when food runs short, instead of hiding, use it as a teaching moment. Here's what went wrong. Here's how we're fixing it. That way, kids learn resilience, not just survival. Then comes mentorship. Not every parent knows enough. That's where community comes in. Churches, mosques, youth groups, even barbershops. Spaces where financial wisdom can be shared. And finally, technology. The same phones we use for TikTok and WhatsApp can also teach us financial literacy. Budgeting apps, savings apps, online lessons. Imagine a Gambian youth WhatsApp group where every week someone breaks down one money concept. What is interest? how to start a savings circle, how to buy shares. That's how we turn knowledge into culture. The chains can be broken, but it starts with us saying, enough of the silence. Money is not evil. Money is not shameful. Money is a tool. And the earlier we learn to use it, the stronger our families, our communities, and our continent will become. Now that we've broken that silence, we need a blueprint, a roadmap that every African family can start using today to build financial intelligence. The blueprint has five pillars. Pillar one, early education. Start teaching money at the dinner table. Let kids calculate change in the market. Let them track their phone credit spending. Countries like Japan and Singapore make financial literacy part of everyday life. That's why their youth grow up disciplined with money. If we start early, our kids won't fear money. They'll learn to respect it. Pillar two, community mentorship. Not every parent knows how to manage money. That's where mentorship circles come in. Imagine every community having a monthly money talk. In the Gambia, this could happen in mosques after Jummah or in community centers. Knowledge shared is knowledge multiplied. Pillar three, we need practical access. We need resources, not just talk. Financial clubs, youth cooperatives, mini business projects, kids learning by doing, not just theory. Pillar four, embracing technology. Things like digital banking, mobile money, AI-powered tools. If African youth learn to budget on apps, save digitally, and invest in micro shares, we leapfrog traditional systems. Kenya's M-Pesa already proved it's possible. Why can't the Gambia be next? Pillar five, culture shift. This is the hardest, but most important. We need to shift from secrecy to openness, from shame to growth, from short-term pride to long-term sustainability. If even half of Gambian households adopted these five pillars, in one generation, we'd see massive change. Less reliance on remittances, more youth-led businesses, families owning land, houses, investments, a culture that knows how to grow wealth and protect it. This is how we stop being consumers at the bottom and start being producers, investors, and innovators. Let me make this plain. Africa does not have the luxury of time. The Gambia does not have the luxury of time. We are living in the most competitive era in history. While we debate whether to talk about money at home, the rest of the world is building billion-dollar companies in garages, investing in tech startups before they launch, teaching kids about money before high school. Let's look at the facts. Over 60% of the Gambians' population is under 25. That's a youth bulge. But if that energy isn't directed into opportunity, it becomes unemployment, migration, or worse. Across Africa, youth unemployment is over 30%. In some countries, even higher. At the same time, Africa has the youngest, fastest-growing population in the world. This is either our greatest opportunity or our greatest threat. Globally, AI and automation are eliminating jobs faster than ever. If we don't teach youth about money, entrepreneurship, and technology, they won't just struggle to find jobs abroad. The jobs won't exist. Every year we delay, another generation is lost. Waiting looks like this. Parents silence until kids are drowning in debt. Families renting for 40 years with nothing to show. Young men hustling abroad, returning home empty-handed. Acting now looks like this. Teenagers learning to budget before their first paycheck. Families setting savings goals together. Communities pooling resources to buy land, start farms, and build homes. If we don't build financial intelligence now, we will miss the same opportunities we missed before. We missed the industrial age because we were colonized. We missed the technological age because we were left in the dark. We cannot miss the AI age and digital economy age. If we do, we will forever be consumers of other people's products, employees of other people's companies, and tenants in other people's buildings. The urgency is real. The question is, will we wake up or will we stay silent until it's too late? All right, let's take this home. We've talked about how silence destroys us. We've talked about why now is the time to shift. But talk is cheap unless it becomes action. So here's your challenge of the week. Number one, start the money conversation. If you live with family, bring up money at the dinner table. If you're a parent, teach your kids one thing about saving. If you're young, ask your parents, what did money look like for you growing up? And number two, write down your relationship with money. Be brutally honest. Are you afraid of money? Do you waste money? Do you save but never invest? Write one paragraph about what money means to you now and one paragraph about what you want it to mean to you in the future. And number three, take one small action. Open a savings account. Put aside even $5 or $300 this week, not for spending, not for emergencies, just for the discipline of starting. If you already save, then invest. Join Osusu. Start a small garden. Buy a book on financial literacy. Remember, money is not a monster. Money is not a miracle. It is a tool that can build your family's future or keep you trapped in someone else's system. The silence ends with us. The fear ends with us. The ignorance ends with us. If we're brave enough to talk about money, we'll be wise enough to manage it. If we're wise enough to manage it, we'll be strong enough to multiply it. So take this challenge, talk, write, act, and then share this episode with someone you love so they can take the challenge too. This is Roots and Hustle, where the silence ends and the building begins. Until next week.